You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Is in session. The wait is over. It's week one. College football is back. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, and Skip Newton. This is the Devy Seminar on Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Today's show, we're going to be running through our week one slate, all the news and notes, reacting to the risers and fallers from last week, and we'll touch on some recruiting as well. This is in our daily podcast feed here at the Draft Bible Podcast Network, filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. These shows are provided ad-free. All we ask is you please leave us a five-star review and check out all of our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Gentlemen, week one is upon us. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Cannot wait to take notes. I love to take notes of prospects as the games unfold. Maybe it's just because I'm older. I like my instant reaction. I actually watch games for Devy Scouting, but I also do it for the NFL Draft Bible, our NFL draft seminar that Matt and I do, and I've been doing it for years. But I watch games unfold and take notes, especially for the quarterback position. I am very, very big into understanding and watching how the quarterback controls the offense. So I love this time of the year with my notepad.
I'm so excited for college football that I'm actually upset that one of the commissioners in one of my fantasy football leagues scheduled a live auction tomorrow night right during the Minnesota Golden Gophers and Ohio State Buckeyes game. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Come on now.
That should be illegal.
Is it a Minnesota league?
It is. That's the worst part. Like, it's all Minnesota people. I don't know what he was thinking.
That is not a golden approach. All right. Let's go. We'll move on to the news and notes here. Some pretty big Devy news coming out of week one. This is a busy time of the year to try to catch up with Devy rosters here. Wisconsin transfer running back Chez Malusi is listed as the co-starter with Jalen Berger for Wisconsin. It's kind of put folks up in arms here in the Devy community. A lot of folks expected Jalen Berger to just get this job again. Now, there's rumors that the injury might be playing a bigger toll. That might be the result. And, gentlemen, it's always a little risky to get too invested in preseason depth charts, but it's at least a cause for concern when it comes to Jalen Berger's Devy stock. This is an interesting
question.
Yeah, no question here. Zach Evans, this is an interesting one here. Out of TCU, he won't start week one based on a violation of team rules. Now, he will play in week one. TCU made that clear. But it's at least a little bit of a yellow flag. Remember, Zach Evans had a tumultuous recruiting cycle. He was originally a Georgia recruit, ended up at TCU. All indications is that he's been a model student since coming on campus. But just keep an eye on this. Huge Devy impact here. Hudson Card, who a lot of folks are very heavily invested in for Devy, does very narrowly win out the quarterback battle here over the Longhorns' backup quarterback now, Casey Thompson. However, Steve Sarkisian has noted here that he will reevaluate the quarterback situation after week one. And depending on how this game against Louisiana goes, Casey Thompson very well may see time on a Saturday. Highly touted true freshman wide receiver Xavier Worthy is named a starter for the Longhorns. So I know a lot of folks are excited to see Card connect with Xavier Worthy, and hopefully we get a big play right off the bat. Gentlemen, we talked about this on our CFF show here. Make sure you're listening into The Blitz, which releases on Thursdays on the Draft Bible Podcast Network. But Mississippi State names Will Rogers the starter, then names him the co-starter along with Chance Lovertich. And then now Leach came out and said that Rogers is the starter. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if it's just Mike Leach being weird, but I'm invested in Will Rogers in C2C League. So I'm going to be watching this closely here over the first month to see if it's really Will Rogers at the helm of this offense. Memphis names transfer quarterback Grant Gunnell co-starter with Seth Hennigan for week one. I know Gunnell missed some time in the spring with injury. Naming a quarterback co-starter is a very weird move. Hopefully it's just a little bit of a motivation tactic to get him out there and fired up. Highly touted tight end Jaleel Billingsley is not listed as a starter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Apparently he was in Nick Saban's, quote, doghouse during camp. It will be interesting to see. A lot of folks have Billingsley pegged as a day one or day two draft prospect here in the 2022 NFL draft. But gentlemen, you got to get on the field to get drafted. So let's see if he's able to get there. On a similar note here, a lot of folks are very interested in the Alabama wide receiver room. They named transfer Jameson Williams, remember, from Ohio State, John Metchie and Slade Bolden as the starting wide receivers. However, if you're disappointed some of the young guys weren't named starters off the bat, Alabama's going to go easily two deep on their wide receiver rotation, if not three deep. I do think it's pretty significant, though, that Jameson Williams, who came from Ohio State because he didn't get enough playing time, is able to be named a starter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. A few more notes here to round things out. Cade McNamara beats out Alan Bowman and J.J. McCarthy to be named the next quarterback wasted by Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Speaking of quarterbacks wasted by Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Joe Milton is officially named the starter for the Tennessee Volunteers. Harrison Bailey listed as quarterback two. Hendon Hooker listed as quarterback three. And this was one that surprised a lot of folks. Kevin Harris is listed as an or behind Marshawn Lloyd in the University of South Carolina depth chart. So it does look like, after all, the young talent is able to win it out. Major takeaways or news and notes that I missed, fellas?
My heart was broken with this Kevin Harris news over Marshawn Lloyd. Hey, I like Marshawn Lloyd also. There's no question the talent. But Kevin Harris had such a spectacular year last year. He led the SEC in rushing. I had been drafting him very early in the draft cycle. But then he wasn't at training camp. There was like lots, like he wasn't on the practice field, right? And it seemed like all of these flashing red lights all converged to put him at the dreaded or. I think if you actually look at the depth chart that South Carolina published, wasn't he fourth?
Like, yeah, he was the third or, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this cannot be good. So that one shocks me. Another one that my heart is broken, Jaleel Billingsley. I mean, it's been negative. Now, Saban doesn't say too much specifically, but if you look at the interviews where he's talking about him, the body language, you can almost like see a 1950s Bug Bunny cartoon with like smoke coming out of Saban's ears. Like, the kid doesn't get it. He's been here for 3 years and he doesn't get Alabama football. Like, that's really, really bad, folks. Look, Saban's going to win football games. Jaleel Billingsley better figure it out, or he's not going to have any draft stock. I mean, it's going to be a disaster. But that, it is terrible news coming out of there. We got to talk about Michigan. I'm a Wolverines fan. Everyone knows that. It's a disaster under Harbaugh. Everyone gets it except for the athletic department at the University of Michigan and some alum. I don't understand. What happened with Xavier Worthy? Did he walk onto the campus? Did he just see the chaos? And then he goes down to Texas? I mean, he's like, wait a second. They had Nico Collins here. They had Donovan Peoples-Jones here. And they didn't catch passes? I'm out. Goodbye. I mean, so he's going to start for Texas. And Matt alluded to it, and I laughed. But Joe Milton wins the job in the SEC. Now, granted, Tennessee, not at the top of the conference, but Joe Milton walks onto the Volunteers campus and he's the starter. I mean, what is Harbaugh doing? Is he going to ruin Cade McNamara? I mean, I don't own a Devy player anymore from the University of Michigan. I'm out. Until they get – and look, we just saw – we haven't even talked about it. We'll talk about it, risers and fallers. When I saw what happened last weekend, I'm done. All Michigan players off my Devy roster.
Until they leave Michigan, then you want them back on.
Then you buy them low.
Exactly, exactly. Well, my first thought when looking at all these depth charts that come out is, when do these coaches become so gutless that they can't just fill out a depth chart? What is this co-starter stuff in this
I don't
board?
Understand that,
oh,
dude.
My Lord.
Oh, maybe I'm too old. Tell me who the goddarn starter is.
Like, when did that ever become set in stone that they couldn't change it? It's like, guys, just give us a depth chart and then move on with your season. No one's going to care if it changes after one game. Anyway, you know, a few things that I'm concerned about on this list, you know, Zach Evans, like, this is not the first time that he's gotten some press for non-playing news, and it's never been good. And that's a concern. You know, it happens once, you're like, ah, okay, whatever, he's a young kid. But it just seems to, you know, here's another thing. I'm worried about that from a Devy perspective. You know, going further down, Jahleel Billingsley, John, you covered it a lot. The other angle here is that Saban could be doing him a huge favor. It's like, you know what, dude? I know you could be a high draft pick. I'm going to teach you your lesson now. So you get this figured out, because if you don't, then your NFL career is going to be very short-lived. I mean, you're going to be up there long enough to have a cup of coffee, and then you're going to be out. So just figure it out. So maybe it's a little tough love because he thinks that'll do him the trick. I'm going to stick with that. Otherwise, the Alabama receivers, like you talked about, you know, the interesting three names, Williams, Mechie, and Bolden. Everybody wants to see the incoming freshman class. They've got so many good guys. I'm excited for that. I think, you know, Ajay and JoJo Earl are two of my favorites, but there's more. So that will be very interesting as well. And then, yeah, I'm really disappointed with the Kevin Harris being the third or. I mean, that's I get why Marshawn Lloyd is high in the depth chart. I mean, he was a highly rated freshman that got hurt, but Kevin Harris looked every bit the part. I mean, I have him on at least one Devy roster, and I'm excited about him going to the NFL next year. So hopefully he still gets enough carries, enough touches to show that last year wasn't a fluke and that this kid is legit.
Hey, Skip and Matt, I have a great idea. You guys need to make third or hashtag and copyright that onto a t-shirt. I am the third or. I mean, what a great hashtag, third or. I love it. I have ideas now.
That feels like a University of Minnesota thing, right? We're just rowing the boat with that third or.
The third or.
Now, which one of us is the starting podcast host and which one's the ors? We won't get into that. We won't. All right. Well, let's jump into our risers and fallers segment instead, fellas. So risers and fallers, that's going to be our real reaction to whatever's happened the week prior. Now, of course, there wasn't a ton of action in week zero, but you better believe I am starting it off here with some light Zach Charbonnet victory lapping. I have been hammering the table that Charbonnet was the top transfer here of the portal this offseason. And he shows it right away, shreds the Rainbow Warriors, 106 yards, 3 touchdowns on just 6 carries. And folks can tell me as much as they want that it's just Hawaii, but you look at the runs themselves, he is powerful. He is creative. He looks a little bit lighter than he did at Michigan. And so there is so much to be excited about with Zach Charbonnet. He was out there on third downs over Britton Brown. He made a nice first down catch. And so he's showing it through the air. He's showing it on the ground. I don't think anybody improved their stock, Devy stock, at least this weekend, more than Zach Charbonnet.
Matt, I just got to say this because I'm a Michigan fan and I wanted Charbonnet to succeed at Michigan. As I saw the power and speed in that game of Charbonnet and the determination, all I could think about was the failure of Harbaugh as a coach. When you saw Charbonnet at Michigan, It was literally putting a square peg into a round hole. They never got Charbonnet out in space. They never allowed him to use his power one-on-one. They were literally jamming him between the guards like it was 1974. There was nothing original about their run scheme. What did Chip Kelly do, and the coaching staff? What did they do? They got him outside the tackles. They got him outside the guard. And they let Charbonnet go one-on-one. Now, I cannot wait to watch him against LSU. But what that is, that was an indictment of Harbaugh's ability to coach. He was jamming. He did not know how to use this young man. It is absurd.
Yeah, the thing that I saw, that, and you mentioned it, Matt, is it wasn't the production as much as how he was running. The fact that he wasn't just, you know, running through a huge hole in a straight line and gets a 50-yard touchdown. I mean, big deal. It was, you know, he's cutting, he's breaking tackles, he's accelerating. Those are the traits we like. And so that was impressive. That is what I hadn't seen before out of him. So absolutely his stock rises. And as far as you victory lapping, all I'm imagining is Captain America in Winter Soldier on your left. On your left.
Now listen, I tweeted all three of Zach Charbonnet's touchdowns, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to tweet every Zach Charbonnet touchdown this season. I'm just going to stick with that. But hey, fellas, a big offensive performance for Fresno State against John's fantastic UConn Huskies. now I gotta, it's not a tough defensive opponent here, but I got to tell you, you know, what we saw from Jalen Cropper was still pretty fun. I mean, he had the huge 86-yard touchdown play, most of that being yards after catch. He had the broken tackles. He had a great game. I believe it was 3 receptions for over 100 yards. And we also saw Ronnie Rivers here, 13 for 58 and 2 on the ground, and then another 2 for 66 through the air. Ronnie Rivers set Fresno State's career touchdown record. Now, I think with Jalen Cropper, you could see somebody who legitimately could, you know, play his way into day 3 territory. I think at least at this point, Ronnie Rivers is still probably a fringe UDFA type prospect. But I think you at least need to make sure you're familiar with both of these names here in the Devy world.
Oh, Matt, absolutely agree with you. I do believe Jalen Cropper will be drafted. And one of the players I want to watch, he's playing Oregon this week.
Yeah.
If you watch the Ducks over the last 4 years, ladies and gentlemen, they have a better defense than you think. They also have legitimate prospects in the secondary, unlike the Huskies, who look like they were a JV team out there tackling. The Ducks will rap and hit, and they will also, I do believe the Ducks will play a little press on Cropper, force this young man to beat the press. Let's see what happens. I can't wait for this matchup. I agree. Ronnie Rivers is very fascinating, but I still have him right now as an undrafted free agent. But he could clearly climb up the rankings, especially if he continues to perform like he did last week.
If you like breakout age, Ronnie Rivers is not the guy for you. I think he's on year 6.
I have to admit, I got to come clean. I'm not, you know, really, really well educated on either one of these guys from Fresno State. So I'm just taking this as a opportunity from the educator and the scholar that I got some homework to do. And I got to watch a little more Fresno State and see where these guys are at so I can give a better opinion of where I think they will be. I've been so focused on the quarterback that I've kind of passed over these guys.
Skip, we'll take 500 words by next week, and let's make sure that's APA format, all right?
You got it.
I'll tell you what, Skip does not have to do his homework on the Nebraska Cornhuskers here. If you listen to the Week 0 CFF Blitz show, Skip listed Gabe Irvin, the true freshman, as his sleeper, and it was Irvin who earned the start for the Cornhuskers. Now, he looked pretty solid. I don't think the numbers are necessarily, if you're just looking at the box score, but that's got to be pretty encouraging, especially for you, Skip, who was on him early.
Yeah, I really did like him. I would have loved to have seen him get the touchdown, but that's okay. He looked good running the ball when he had, you know, at least a little bit of room to run. So it's encouraging. I think it's a good start to hopefully what's going to be a really good career, because he's been outstanding, you know, heading into the season.
All right. And John, you mentioned it. You love to take your live notes when watching college football here. And I do as well. I have just a college football live notes tab in my Notion here. And I just take notes as I'm watching the games here. And my second bullet point here, I'll point out my first bullet point to Skip's point, is Nebraska true freshman Gabe Irvin gets the start and he looks good. And again, these are rough notes here. My second bullet point is Adrian Martinez still cannot throw the ball, all right? He is the biggest faller. If anybody was still interested in Adrian Martinez in the Debbie world, get rid of him. I don't think there's anything left for Adrian Martinez.
Oh, I mean, it took me about a quarter and a half to realize I don't have to take any more notes. I've watched enough of this young man, and I had huge hopes. I actually drafted him as a freshman in a college dynasty league. I mean, he was Scott Frost guy. He was highly touted. I loved the system I thought Frost would bring over from UCF. He had a dual threat quarterback, but Matt, the young man can't throw. I mean, he can run. There's some athleticism there. But, man, his accuracy and his decision-making, whoo, oh, I mean, I just, it's just not good. I mean, Scott Frost is in a conundrum because I don't think he can win with Martinez, and I don't think there's anyone on the depth chart he can promote. I mean, they're in trouble. Scott Frost is in trouble, and the Cornhuskers are in trouble.
He absolutely nailed it. And we'll have a lot more risers and fallers to break down after week one. But let's go ahead, fellas. We'd like to touch on here. I want to make sure that we don't forget in the Debbie world about recruiting. High school recruiting is a 365-day-a-year process here. And we're not at the height of recruiting season here, but there's a few commitments. So we're always going to try to touch on the commitments, decommitments, and any big news here. So just a couple smaller commitments. Three-star wide receiver Alec Aominor commits to Stanford. That's a nice wide receiver signing for them. Gus Malzahn, I believe, gets his first potential Devy impact signing here with three-star wide receiver Quan Lee heading to the UCF Golden Knights. The University of Maryland lost a three-star commitment from Amari Clark. So if you are a Terps fan looking forward to him, we have gotten a decommitment there. And just touching on some of the big news here, a lot, and I mean a lot of prospects are going to be at the Georgia-Clemson game, including 2024 top quarterback Jaden Davis. So I know a lot of folks are looking to see who's going to be in the stands there. I'm sure the broadcast is probably going to do a who's who of guys there. Fellas, any notes on there or anything to add to the quick recruiting recap? It's not heavy recruiting season right now.
I think it's interesting that Gus Malzahn actually brought in a wide receiver at UCF. Now, let's see how – I mean, it's the type of player I want to see more of him this year. I want to see if he develops as last year in high school. There, and how is Gus Malzahn? We're all interested. Remember, on last week's Blitz show, I had an under on that Boise State-UCF game as one of my predictions, which we'll see. Actually, by the time you listen to this, the game will have been played. But I want to see how Gus Malzahn is going to throw the football. So I think that's interesting. I love, you know, maybe I'm – but when they show in the who's attending the games of these big teams like Clemson, it'll be interesting. Can they get a third or a fourth rock star quarterback into Clemson from Deshaun Watson to Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and DJ? Can they get a fourth great quarterback prospect?
Yeah, that really is amazing. I mean, to talk about a 2024 top recruit already, my first thought was, wow, that's literally the same class as my son, and I can't imagine my 10th grade son being recruited. But there you go. That's how the game is played, and that's how it works. That's awesome.
All right, gentlemen, let's jump on to the slate preview. So we're going to run through the week one college football games. I've picked out 10 of the big ones here, and we're going to focus, you know, not so much on the games themselves, but really focus on the Devy guys that we're keeping an eye on during the games. And we'll start off here with the Tar Heels taking on Virginia Tech. I think the big ones for me here are on the UNC side of the ball. I want to see if Caleb Hood is going to get some run behind Ty Chandler. I want to see if Josh Downs is the wide receiver one in that offense. Those are the two big ones for me. Of course, it'll be interesting to see Sam Howell. Is that kind of lineup what you guys are looking for, or is there something on the Tech side of the ball for you as well?
At this point, I'm not very interested in the Tech side of the ball. And yes, it's clearly Sam Howell and Caleb Hood. And I guess Josh Down, you're right. You nailed all three. Those are the three I'll be looking at.
Yeah, I got to agree. You know, it's really interesting that everyone was talking about Kamaru Edmonds as the incoming freshman, but Caleb Hood is completely, you know, taken over that, you know, I'm the freshman running back to watch. So, you know, how much of the game is he going to get? We know they like to split carries. They did it evenly for a couple of seasons previously. And will they do it again with Ty Chandler and one of these guys?
You know, it's interesting, fellas. We got Penn State, Wisconsin, which is a great Big Ten matchup right off the bat. It's a premier game. It's Saturday, 12 p.m. on Fox. And you look at it and you say, actually, you know, how much Devy is in there? You know, Graham Mertz for Wisconsin is interesting. I think Limbert for Penn State, the wide receiver, is interesting. And of course, Washington as well. So, you know, there's certainly factors in there. What are we looking for with Penn State, Wisconsin?
I will be watching to see if Noah Cain can live up to his promise. I think that, to me, can he make an impact? I mean, we're talking about a coaching staff and a system that has produced Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders. I don't think Noah Cain is as good as those two per se, but I would like to see something out of Noah Cain. So that's interesting. Obviously, we were talking about it on the Blitz podcast. Chez Malusi. I want to see how he's going to do for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, my focus is probably going to be more on the Wisconsin side. You know, Graham Mertz showed some promise last season, but it was really a COVID mess for the Wisconsin team as well as Graham Mertz. And that, I think that messed everything up because he came out of the gate absolutely red hot against Illinois, where I'm pretty sure he threw only one incomplete pass and that was a drop. So it was almost a perfect game. Can he continue to build on what we've seen, at least the promise that we've seen there? And then I've always been a fan of Jake Ferguson. I know we don't like to get into tight ends too heavily in Devy, but I think he's a solid tight end. And in one of those situations where, you know, the system that he plays in is going to limit the production. You know, if he were featured more, I think people might be a little more excited about him, but I think he does a lot of things really well. And he could be one of those sleeper tight ends when he makes himself eligible in the NFL draft.
All right, moving on here. Oklahoma at Tulane Saturday, or I should say it's Tulane at Oklahoma now. Saturday, 12 p.m. noon, ABC. Hey, it's going to be the Spencer Rattler show, of course, but gentlemen, you better believe I am ready to see Eric Gray hit the ground running here. And it also sounds like because of injury, we might see true freshman Mario Williams as well for Oklahoma. Anything you would add to that?
Marvin Mims. I absolutely want to see Mr. Mims catch an 80-yard touchdown from Spencer Rattler. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is this going to be the next edition of the Matt Hicks victory lap when it comes to this run? This will be the running back of the week, right? Every week it's going to be a different running back. And I know that Gray is your guy. So that'll be fascinating. Oklahoma is full of fantasy goodness, full of Devy awesomeness. So lots to see there. I'm intrigued by Michael Pratt at Tulane. I want to see if this kid can at least keep up and make some things happen. He did some interesting things last season. He can run the ball as well. So how does that play? Does he put up, you know, a good game at least to keep it interesting?
Yeah, you know, a great image that Tulane football posted just today, I believe. It was their stadium, and it looked like it had gotten roughed up a little bit by the storm, but they posted that the green wave mascot at the top of the scoreboard was still standing strong and intact. So that was a great post by Tulane. Fresno State at Oregon, 2 p.m. We talked about this game earlier. This might be closer than a lot of folks think. Most of the Devy attention is going to be paid to the Oregon side of the ball. However, you know, you're looking at true freshman Troy Franklin, who was able to get on there. You know, certainly some other young wide receivers as well. Gentlemen, I want to see what the heck is up with C.J. Verdell, listed as a co-starter. This is a guy that I really liked going into last year. He had a weird season. I want to see C.J. Verdell claim that running back spot again.
I agree with you totally. I had a ton of C.J. Verdell last year in my college fantasy football leagues. I do think I had him on one Devy roster. Very disappointing. You know, he was sharing time last year with Travis Dye, you know, kind of electric pass catcher. But Johnny Johnson and Mika Pittman are also two wide receivers I'm looking forward to on the Ducks. My only concern is I don't think Anthony Brown's a great passer. So I'm not sure if he's going to be really able to take advantage of their wide receivers who appear to be better than the Ducks have had on campus recently. If you look at Justin Herbert's receivers, they weren't very good. The Ducks appear to have a nice roster depth, but now they don't have the quarterback who can get them the football, in my opinion.
John, I'm really glad you brought that up because I was wondering that too. It's like, man, are we going to get kind of cheated out of what could be a really excited wide receiver core because they don't have the quarterback to throw it? I'm excited for incoming freshman Ty Thompson, but he's not the starter yet. But right. that is the guy I would love to see eventually this season. But for now, we'll just have to hope on the other guys. And you nailed it with the wide receivers. Troy Franklin, the incoming true freshman, love his potential. And then, as I mentioned on our previous show, I'm still a Devin Williams fan. I love the guy. I think he's got all the ability in the world. I want to see if he can put up the production consistently to make me feel like I didn't miss on that one because, man, he looks so good.
Gentlemen, how wild is it that Alabama versus Miami is not the biggest game of week one? It will be at 3:30 p.m. It will be on ABC. It will be a great game to watch. I mean, obviously, there's a ton of directions we could go with Alabama. I will pick one. I want to see how much action Brian Robinson gets. I want him to be the running back. I liked his tape. I think he can be the running back. Not sure if that's the direction Nick Saban is going to go to, but this is a guy I think has legitimate day two potential here if he could get the work, because I think he's going to test very well athletically. So if I had to pick one, I think that's the guy that I'm interested in.
You know, it's fascinating. I'm hearing a little bit of chatter in the Devy community about Brian Robinson. If he's available, go and grab him. The reason why is he might gain a lot of value because he's a Crimson Tide running back, because of what we see in New England with Harris jumping up the depth chart. Najee Harris was the number one pick last year. I think Robinson could gain the most value in the Devy community over this season. And it looks like it's Robinson's job. So if he gets that job, he might skyrocket.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to hit on is he's the guy that we should have been grabbing last season, anticipating this, and get him now. Quickly, before all of a sudden he starts putting up big games and his value is just going to go through the roof. And then, you know, if you're able to do that, then you probably want to trade him away and get and, you know, realize that value and take the win because you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. I've always been a Roydell Williams fan. I think he's still buried on the depth chart, so I'll just have to be patient and wait that out. Of course, with Alabama, tons of wide receivers. I know they named their three starters, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of others going around. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Bryce Young. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of him, so let's not forget.
We almost skipped right over it.
Well, kind of like our mock draft when I got him at the end.
Man, we like Bryce Young, I swear.
Yeah, let's see what this kid could do. I mean, a former five-star, he had to wait it out last year when Mac Jones was lighting it up, so That should be fantastic. I mean, it's just going to be an awesome game, and hopefully Miami can keep things interesting. Derek King, surprising to me, is fully back and ready after hurting his ACL. I was not expecting him to be ready this early in the season. So that's good news, because he can be an electric playmaker as well.
All right, gentlemen, we'll touch on this game quickly here. We have a few more games we want to get through on the slate. Louisiana at Texas, focusing on the Texas side of the ball here. Let's see some Bijan Robinson. Let's see this man unleashed. And, of course, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning here, and we talked about it extensively on the Wednesday show. Again, make sure you're listening into the Blitz. Hudson Card to Xavier Worthy. I don't even know if we need to say any more about that game, because I'm sure we're going to want to say a lot about Georgia at Clemson. I'm interested to know specifically here with the Bulldogs and the Tigers, who are you guys locking in on as Devy players to watch?
Kendall Milton and Zamir White. I've got to see what these two backs can do. Both highly touted high school recruits. Zamir White's been good, but he has not reached his ceiling. Kendall Milton, we've heard so much about this young man, how good he is. How are the Bulldogs going to employ these two backs? How good do they look? And then JT Daniels, where does he fit into this Bulldog scheme? They have a lot of injuries at wide receiver. I'm looking forward to seeing this Georgia offense, believe it or not.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, and I like that you kind of fed right into the wide receiver discussion because of George Pickens, their number one guy, being out with an ACL. Who's going to be the guy to step up? There's a lot of talent there. We just don't know who that's going to be. Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith, Marcus Roseme, Adonai Mitchell, an incoming freshman I really like. Kyrus Jackson's there as well. I know there's other injuries, so it's been kind of a mess, but that's what I'm interested in on the Georgia side. Clemson, I don't think we need to really talk anymore about how much we love DJU. DJ Uiagalelei is fantastic. Who's going to be his number one or number two wide receiver? It's anybody's guess. I think, you know, Justin Ross is healthy. That's more good news. Want to see that, you know, come to fruition and have him play and look good so we can feel better about his NFL draft stock.
All right, this is an interesting one. A lot of folks might not be locked in on. 8 o'clock p.m. ESPNU. It's Kent State at Texas A&M. This is our first look at Haynes King here. It's going to get a pretty easy defense to look good on right away. Jalen Widemeyer needs to be focused on. And then don't forget on the Kent State side of the ball, Dustin Crum has a dual threat mobile quarterback. I think he's got a shot to sneak into the back end of the NFL draft, or at least find himself in a preferred UDFA type situation there in the 2022 NFL draft. Certainly some other folks to watch there for the Aggies as well.
Number one guy I'm interested in, and everyone knows I like Isaiah Spiller, so I'm not going to talk about Isaiah Spiller tonight. Aeneas Smith. Aeneas Smith is now going to be full-time starter at wide receiver. He is sneaky good. He has some Kadarius Toney skills in him. He is a dynamic electric playmaker from the slot. Very interested to see how he's employed at wide receiver all this year. He might sneak into the second round of the NFL draft. Aeneas Smith is someone I'm watching in this game very closely. And Matt is right about Dustin Crum. This is a big game. I'm worried about him because I think those Aggie linebackers and the front seven are going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. So, young man, get your helmet on and keep your head on a swivel, because there might be an Aggie behind you at any moment ready to take you down.
John, you hit it on the head there with Aeneas Smith. The NFL Draft Bible does mock draft Mondays, and he's been slipping into the first round.
Woo!
So that is something that is really interesting to see. We see this every year now, where that one wide receiver, Kadarius Toney was last year, gets into the first round based on, you know, these traits that these NFL teams are looking for, and Smith could be that guy. So that is very interesting to see. I love that they moved him to wide receiver full time.
All right, LSU, UCLA, a big game, 8:30 p.m. on Fox. My goodness, guys, the big games are not going to stop
on
Saturday.
What a great opening week, man. It is loaded.
How much more could you ask for? You know, there's certainly a lot to look at. Kayshon Boutte for LSU. You know, what's going to go on with the quarterback situation if Johnson can be, you know, really somebody to pay attention to. Emory versus Davis Prince. It looks like both of those folks are going to start. We've talked a little bit about the UCLA offense already as a result of last week, but will they hold against the Tigers? Just a ton of good stuff at 8:30 p.m. We have so much good content.
I want to see Max Johnson. I want to see this LSU Tiger offense bounce back. Also, who's the second receiver? Is it going to be Trey Palmer, Coy Moore, Jeray Jenkins? Like, I believe there will be another receiver who is college fantasy football worthy by the end of the year. And there will be another LSU receiver who rises up Debbie boards. We just don't know who it is right now. And this might be the last stand for John Emery. Can he do something with the touches that he is given?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see who the running back's going to be in LSU, or will it be a running back by committee? And will Zach Charbonnet pick up where he left off last week? I mean, he did it against Hawaii. Can he do it against LSU? And the Max Johnson, Kayshawn Boutte connection, it looked great at times last season. Everybody loves Boutte. I want to see more of that, and for him to really become that number one guy in the 2023 draft eligible class.
I got one play.
No, go ahead.
I think this is a very important game for DTR. Dorian Thompson-Robinson looked terrible against Hawaii. That offensive line in the running game bailed him out. If he plays that poorly against LSU, the Bruins are going to get whacked. They're going to get whacked. He's got to play better in this game. Very interested in DTR this week.
Fellas, finishing off the slate is an excellent Monday night football game, 8 p.m. on ESPN. It's Louisville versus Ole Miss. I mean, a ton of different directions that you could go down there for the Landshark offense. I'm going to go sneak. You know, I could pick Jerry Neely. John's going to pick Matt Corral. You know, I just want to see how they're going to use John Rhys Plumlee. Remember the former quarterback? Now apparently he's a slot wide receiver. There's something fun about, you know, and I know it's Lane Kiffin, which just makes you think he's got something sneaky up his sleeve with John Rhys Plumlee, and that's who I'm going to be looking for.
Matt, I should have a limit. I'm only allowed to reference Matt Corral once on every show that we do. So we'll see about Matt Corral. But I want to see how the wide receiver core works out. Braylon Sanders, Jonathan Mingo, Dontario Drummond. And obviously now John Rhys Plumlee's in this, you know, in this room. How are these targets going to be distributed? And I am very interested in Jalen Mitchell, the running back. Hey, we know how good Javian Hawkins has been the last 2 years. Jalen Mitchell showed real good promise last year. How is he going to do in this matchup?
I am most excited about Matt Corral. I know you're trying not to get overly excited, John, but this is the guy I want to watch because this is the season where it could be a make or break season for him. I mean, can he slip into the first round? He has the talent. He just needs to show that he can make good decisions and take care of the football. And the sky could be the limit for this guy. He could be that quarterback that moves up the most this year.
All right, that'll do it, fellas. We are looking forward to week one of college football. Remember, we get it Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We appreciate you listening here to the weekday slate of the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back next Wednesday here. This hosting group will be back next Wednesday next Thursday with the Blitz, next Friday with the Devi Seminar. But make sure you're checking out the feed daily and make sure that you're checking out the weekend show where Jack Borowski and Brian Sternberg find one of the upcoming draft prospects and get an in-depth personal interview with them. Make sure that you have left a 5-star review and that you're subscribed here to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. As always, we appreciate you listening, and let's get ready to enjoy some week one games.